This is Running the Race with Pastor Eddie Pinero of Calvary Chapel of Milford in Milford, Pennsylvania.
Called to blessing. And so we're not to retaliate, but on the contrary, we're to bless. Amen? But we're to bless. So we're truly to submit to one another. We're to bless one another. Let's look at verse 9. Let's read into it. Is it not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing.
As Pastor Eddie continues his teaching series through the book of 1 Peter, he'll be challenging you to be a blessing to those in the body and to pursue unity. To be of one mind is to be like-minded or united in intent and purpose. The purpose of Christian unity is that the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. It's a very poor testimony to be at odds with your fellow Christian brothers and sisters. Well, let's join Pastor Eddie in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. As he continues his message, Call to Blessing.
Matthew chapter 18, verse 4, Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as these little children is the greatest of the kingdom of heaven," and is humbling yourself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, we see how Jesus humbled himself. It says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he," Jesus Christ, "humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." So let us humble ourselves. Let us be courteous to one another. Six, and finally, do not retaliate. And that's the first half of verse 9. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. It's very simple. There's nothing in the scriptures you're going to find that tells you have the right to repay evil for evil or retaliate. We are not to repay evil for evil. We're not to retaliate insults, even insults when we have been insulted. And this refers to, those who have done evil towards you, whether they're in the body of Christ, sadly, it happens, right? And or outside, people who don't know Christ, believers or unbelievers, you'll be treated in a way that they have done evil to you and have insulted you. It's going to happen in the church and out the church. But we're called not to retaliate. Peter encourages us to be like Christ. For Christ himself suffered. He was insulted. He was spat on. He was mocked. He was scorned. And he was crucified. But he did not repay, because he did it for the Lord. He did it so that we can have eternal life. Peter wrote back in chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, "Who, when he," speaking of Jesus, "was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he committed himself to him," speaking God the Father, "who judges righteously." And so this is what Christ did. Christ, when he at the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, is there any other way? Any other way?" And it's not so much the suffering he's going to take on the cross, but the fact that the wrath of God was going to be upon him, and the fact that God the Father turned his face on him, because God cannot see evil. At that moment, it's the only time that God ever turned his face on his son. And he did that for us. And so we're to be submissive to one another. And he has given us six spiritual virtues there, six ways how we're to submit to one another, all in verse 8 and the first half of verse 9. Now let's look at the second half of verse 9 all the way to verse 12. Where we are called to blessing, called to blessing. And so we're not to retaliate, but on the contrary, we're to bless. Amen? But we're to bless. So we're truly to submit to one another. We're to bless one another. Let's look at verse 9. Let's read into it. Is it not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. And this is exactly what Jesus has been telling us. Jesus set the example. Now he did more, he practiced what he preached. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy," because that's how they interpret the scriptures. It's not true. They misinterpret the scripture. Jesus is kind of redefining what the commandments were. He said, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you, and persecute you." That's a refrigerator type of verse to have, right? I think we should put it in every car. It should be one of those little air freshener things, because we get cut off and all of a sudden, blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's somebody you know. We're commanded to love, and it is a commandment. Love them, do good to them, pray for them. You see, saints, you have to look at the big picture. And we know that God is more than we can even understand. We look at the scriptures, we see that it's inexhaustible. We ponder about God. I ponder about God every day. And he blows me away. There's always something I'm learning. And here's the thing. When it comes to the area of enemies and loving those who hate you, let me tell you something. You got to look at the bigger picture. And sometimes we're so, you know, we only caught up and we look at what's in front of us. But understand, there's a spiritual realm. There is a battle going on. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." That's where the battle is. And the enemy might use someone. And you got to realize, wait a minute. I serve a big God, and God is bigger than this. His word, there is a battle. There is a spiritual battle. Yeah, we can do the physical. That's nothing. Physical is nothing. You could be the strongest warrior. You can have all the weapons. It means nothing. You're going to die one day. It means nothing. But the real battle and the real warriors are the saints of God that are praying and understanding that our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's not. It never has been, never will. And we got to understand this. That's why we need to love. If ever you think of anyone that is your enemy, you know, you want to know a secret, which is not really much a secret, start praying for them. You find that you pray for them, you're going to love that person. Because you can't lie to God. And you can't talk bad about someone to God. But when you start praying for that person, guess what? You start loving them. And not only God, you know, might work in them, but God works in us. Because we might be part of the problem. We might be part of the problem. And God revealed things. Say, okay, you really want to fight this battle. I'm going to show you. Because you humble yourself. You're being obedient to my word. Because you know that it's more, it goes beyond what's in this world. You have that mindset. God wants you to be put on the mind of Christ. This is what the Bible tells. This is what being a Christian is all about. Loving them. Look what Paul wrote to the church in Rome. If you could write this and read it at home, it would be good. But I'll read it for you. In Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21, he says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible," this is it, "if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord." Leave it to God. "Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head." You, as much as depends on you, because the reality is we don't want to be messed with. And let me tell you, coming from the Bronx, that was hard for me. New Yorkers, let me tell you, you say hello to them, they say, what do you want? Where do I know you're from? Why are you saying hello to me? That's how it is. That's New York City. Born and raised there, I know. But verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Very simple. As much depends on you. Leave it in God's hand. Leave it in God's hands. You know, God wants to use you. You know, the very person that is your enemy, God may send them to you because God trusts you. That's why you have an enemy, because God trusts you with that person. Because he believes that you are an obedient servant of God and you're going to handle and deal with him differently than anybody else would. That's why you have that enemy. That's the way I look at it. You know, I remember when I was assistant pastor in the church, you know, one man came to me and said, this person in this church really, talk bad about my kids. And I didn't say my kids are not it, but he really took bad. And I was really angry, but I left it alone. And just at that moment, it's when I realized, you know what? I'm glad it happened to you. And he looked at me, not too weird, but he said, what do you mean by that? Was it because if it would happen to anybody else in the church, they wouldn't be mature enough to handle it. They'll lose their testimony. They'll mess up the whole plan. But God has enemies in your way because he knows he can trust you. Think of that. And you know that the battle is not with flesh and blood, because he knows that you're the one that's going to lead them to Christ. You know, it may be hard to love the enemies, but Jesus set the example. The reality is, ultimately, not only got to send him to, but the reality is that Christ loves your enemies. He died on the cross. As much as he died on the cross for you, died for them. And as much as he wants you to have eternal life and glory with him, he wants that enemy, that person, to have eternal life as well. And this is why our attitude must be different. That's the world. Let me tell you, we need to filter that out, because we've probably been raised, I don't know how long, whatever your age is, we've been living in the flesh. And that's the world. But now that we come to the Word of God, it reveals things to us and tells us, no, this is not what God wants. This is not God's way. So we need to filter the old man and the old woman, if you will. And we'll be with you day by day. That's why we come here. We need to put that aside. Love your enemies. As believers in Christ, we're called to love, not hate. Believers, we're called to do good, not do harm. We're called to bless. That's what he's saying here. We're called to bless, not curse. Pray for them. And let me tell you, that's how we Christians, in the name of Jesus Christ, pay back. That's how we get back at them. Oh, really? You want to get back to me? Rebuke the enemy. And guess what? You can't. Lord, rebuke the enemy. We can't. But, you know, it's biblical. But you say, you know what? Put the enemy aside. I'm gonna get back. How? Battle is not with the flesh. I'm gonna get on my knees. You offended me. You cursed at me. Or you hardened me. Oh, I'm gonna get back at you. Jesus, bless you. That's how you get back. And you love. Amen. That's a hard one, but we have to do it. It's biblical. It's hard because the flesh has been doing it for so long, and the mindset. It's been polluted. It's worldly. And, we're being renewed day by day. We're not perfect. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us these things. One of the Beatitudes that Jesus gave at the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers. As much as depends on you, as Paul said, right? For they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. If you look for trouble, you're going to find it. If you look for peace, in the same way, you'll find it. Depending what you're looking for and your attitude. So do not retaliate, but bless. Because what does it say here at the end of verse? Because you are called for this. This is your calling as a believer in Jesus Christ. You're different from anyone else. You're sojourners in this world. You're pilgrims. Our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. And he says in verse 9, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Go figure that. How many blessings we kind of blew away because we did not bless? Just think of how many times someone offended you and you retaliated the same way. And God said, you know, I had a blessing for you, but you blew it. Think about it. I think about that all the time. I'm not perfect. And how many times, you know, as I grew up and you know, been in ministry, and, you know, I just realized how many times in my life that I have blown the blessing that God had for me. I'd inherit a blessing because I took matters in my own hand. Now, in verses 10 to 12, Peter's not going to back all this up by using scripture. He's going to back up everything he's just been saying by using scripture. And what he's going to do, if you probably see in italics in your Bible, is because he is quoting from Psalm 34, verses 12 to 16. And in verse 10, he says, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lip from speaking deceit." In other words, if you want to enjoy life and have happy days, refrain from using your tongue speaking evil. Right? Of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So yeah, he's telling you this is the result of it, but where does this deep within? If you let God work in your heart and you start praying for someone, you start loving them instead, you won't be using your tongue and speaking negative against them or bad. You know, the tongue we know is the most dangerous part of the body. And we studied this when we looked at James, right? James, I don't know about you, but I still have the sores from reading that book and studying that book. Because we're convicting, very convicting. The tongue, and we could tame animals. We could control a ship. But the tongue that's in our mouth, we can't control. And it's dangerous. Look what James says in James chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. He says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell, where every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue." No man, not one single, not you, not me, no one. "It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the solitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." One happy days, refrain, control the tongue. And the best way you could try to help control the tongue, because it's very difficult, is have the right heart, have the right mind. It's out of the abundance of the mouth, the mouth speaks. Verse 11 and 12 says, "Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him speak peace and pursue it." Verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord on the righteous is on you, and his ears are open to their prayers." Remember, the first readers of 1 Peter are suffering persecution. But he says, "But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." God sees and hears everything. Sees and hears everything. He knows when we're suffering. He knows what we're going through. He knows. His face is on and he hears your prayers. But for those who do evil, the face of the Lord is against them. And that is speaking of judgment. And so, saints, listen, we're called to submit. We're called to submit, and that's really hard. You know, because sometimes when we get in the place of submission, we think we're placing ourselves in a vulnerable position of someone else. And that's not a good feeling. It's not. But Jesus did it. And the Holy Spirit that dwells in you will help you. He's the Paraclete. He's the Holy Spirit. He would help you. Because the reality is, you may feel vulnerable, but in Christ Jesus, you're not. You're stronger. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Jesus set the perfect example of submission. Perfect example of submission. And every place where we're called to have submission in the world, in the government, in the workplace, in the marriage, and in the house, Jesus set the way, the example for all of it. Because Jesus was submitted to the Father. Father, there's any other way, but not my will, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We look to the cross, talking about submission and being vulnerable. Jesus was vulnerable. He went to the cross. They reviled against him. They scorned him. They mocked him. Did he return it? No. All eyes were on him at the cross. Cursed is the man who hangs on a tree. And they spat on him. They ripped the beard from his face. And Isaiah said his body was so scorned. It was so marred. Meaning it was so disfigured, it hardly looked like a man. Because according to Isaiah, it says his body was so marred, it hardly seemed that it was a man. But instead of eyes of hate, it was eyes of love. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Talking about submission, talking about being vulnerable. Understand this. Vengeance, the Lord said, vengeance is mine. Understand that our battle is now with flesh and blood. We're called to set an example. We're called to be different. We're called to be Christ-like. Not religious. Not having a name because I'm a Christian. My family's Christian. I used to go to church. I was confirmed. I did all this. I was baptized. I said the sinner's prayer. I got a certificate in my house. You know, I have the boy. When I have the little gown when I was a little altar boy. That has nothing to do with anything. But when you repent and you live according to Christ, that is a Jew Christian. It shows you this person is just like Jesus. Well, that's what Jesus wanted us to be. And he set the example. We're to die to the world, die to self. And here Peter tells us in this area of submission, this is why there's lawlessness, this is why there's craziness, this is why this world don't know what it's like to see unity and harmony. It's because the church is not doing it. That's why. We're to have compassion and we're to be courteous to one. We're to have unity. We're to be of one mind. And the world needs to see this. The world's looking for a place where there's some kind of common sense. Well, there's some kind of unity. There's some kind of hope. There's some kind of love. And the church is responsible to let them know that we are like Christ. We submit. We set the example. The government, we don't always like what they do. But you know what? We submit to it. We submit to every ordinance of man, law enforcement, military, whatever it is, elected officials. We submit. We submit to our bosses. We did everything. We set up a nice resume and say, oh, yes, I'll work as hard as you. I'll be the best employee you have. And all of a sudden, the attitude starts changing. You lied because you sold yourself to get the job. And meanwhile, it says, be submissive to your master, to your employer. Marriage, there should be submission there. That's why there's so much divorce, because nobody understands the biblical principles and structure of a marriage. There's order there and in the house of God. Listen, saints. You know, some people say, hey, you know, where the Bible they read, they need to see it. They need to see Jesus in our lives. They need to see the Word of God in our lives. I'm running the race.
Thank you for listening to Running the Race. Pastor Eddie's currently in 1 Peter, a book so many of us can relate to. Between unexpected circumstances and our own feelings, we're prone to not handle life well all the time. If we're honest, persevering in unjust situations is the last thing we want to do. But it's what God calls us to do. The next time you find yourself in a troublesome situation or your feelings threaten to take over, remember to persevere. Push through so your faith grows and is that much more rooted in God. Isn't it nice to know that even though you experience injustice, God sees it and He knows your heart? If anything you've heard today has you wondering or has prompted some questions, would you get in touch with us? All of our contact information can be found on our website, runningtheraceradio.com. Here's Jessica to tell you more about how you can partner with us.
Prayers for this ministry would be so appreciated. The opportunity for the lost to be reached over the radio is incredible. So please pray for our listening audience and that what's shared will alter people's lives forever. Another way you can support us is by prayerfully considering giving in a financial way. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into producing this program, and we're grateful for all who are willing to come alongside us to support the creation of each program. If you feel led to do this, you can find a Give tab at runningtheraceradio.com.
Thanks, Jessica. We look forward to spending more time with you, our listeners, on the next edition of Running the Race.